On this podcast, we discuss medical diagnoses and procedures. All of the guests express their own opinions. You should always seek medical advice from a trained and credentialed professional when making decisions about your own health. Welcome to the Sleep Apnea Stories podcast. I'm Emma Cooksey, and I've been coping with sleep apnea since childhood. I didn't know anyone in my life with a sleep disorder, so I decided to start this podcast. I'm here to build community and provide a platform for people with sleep apnea to tell their stories. Together, we can shatter stereotypes and raise awareness. We'll be exploring all sorts of treatment options and lifestyle choices to help you live your best life with sleep apnea. This is Sleep Apnea Stories, and I'm so glad you're here. Hey everyone, it's Emma Cooksey here, and I'm your host. So thank you so much to all of you who've been leaving reviews on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. It really does help people to find the show. And so I thought I would just read a little review I got that I just thought was so lovely. It's from AJAL9988. and they left it really recently. So it says, amazing podcast. This podcast has helped immensely as I navigate my own diagnosis. These stories give me hope that other people have been in the same situation I was in, and that there is hope for treatment. Well-recorded, engaging, and amazing resource. So thank you so much for leaving that review, AJAL9988. So if you want to leave a review, you just go wherever you're listening. So most people seem to listen on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, but the podcast is available on all sorts of platforms. So wherever you listen, it really helps the show if you write a review and leave a rating. We're at 5 stars right now, so I'm hoping to keep that going. And the other thing was I got nominated for the Social Health Network Awards this year. And you might remember, if you've listened for a while, I got nominated as a patient leader, like for my social media last year. And I got into the finals and it was really exciting. So if you want to vote for me or to endorse my nomination is what they call it, I've put a link in the show notes, so you can go there and just click the link and click endorse. And so I would really appreciate it, but more than that, it's really nice to see some sleep patient advocates represented, because I feel like other areas, you know, cancer and other, you know, chronic illnesses are really well represented. And we're just starting to see more people in the sleep arena get nominated. So I think that's a really positive change. So on to today's guest. I'm joined today by Lang Rickers. Lang grew up in New York City and attended Harvard College and Columbia University. Following years as an investor, she co-founded and is executive chair of ProSomnus, a manufacturer of oral devices for the treatment of obstructive sleep apnea. Lang also authored Morning Leaves, a reflection of poems written after her sister's untimely death due to the repercussions of obstructive sleep apnea. Lang speaks around the country to educate others on the dangers of OSA and the need for treatment. I've put all of Lang's links in the show notes. But I also went ahead and added her book that we're going to be discussing, Morning Leaves, to my Amazon list. So everybody I've interviewed on the podcast who has a book is all, they're all together on my Amazon ideas list, which is, you can just go, the easiest way to find it is to go to sleepapneastories.com, my website, and then you click shop at the top or on the drop down, like if you're on a phone, it's like that little 3-line thing, and you click shop and then you scroll down to where it says Amazon store, click that, and then you'll see one of the lists is books. And so I put a link there along with all the other books of all the people that I've interviewed. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Lang Rickers. So welcome, and thanks so much for joining me. So one of the things about me is I grew up in Scotland, and I met my husband in Scotland, and he's from Florida. And so that's how we moved to Florida, and I've lived here for 15 years. But I'm always like really interested when I come across people with Scottish names.
Hi.
So do you want to tell us about your name just very briefly before we get into our actual conversation?
Sure. So so my first name is Lang, which, as you're correct, is a Scottish surname.
Yeah.
And it goes back on my mother's side of the family. So my great-grandmother was Laura Lang. That was her maiden name. And then my grandmother was Laura Lang. My mother is Laura Lang. I just have the Lang, but my daughter is also Laura Lang. So my husband likes to joke that he married into a matriarchy. So
yeah. I think before we get into your book, do you want to explain to people a little bit about how you got into this world of sleep apnea, like for your job, like a little bit about how your career progressed? And
yeah, absolutely. So I spent about 20 years in private equity at a firm called HealthPoint Capital, and we invested exclusively in orthopedic and dental device companies. And so we're sort of deep and narrow in our space. We were looking for interesting technologies and interesting businesses that we could buy into, help develop and grow, and then sell to larger strategic companies or take public. And it was in that context where I met the team that now are the leadership team at ProSomnus. Mm-hmm. We were working together at a business called Microdental. It's one of the largest dental laboratory networks. And we were looking at ways to optimize the digital manufacturing of dental products. And we had a really state-of-the-art facility and relationships with the manufacturers of both equipment and materials. And it was our customers that said, you know, there's a real opportunity in sleep, and there are dental appliances that are out there, but they're all handmade, they're very inconsistent, and there's a real need for a very precise, very countable product. And so our first product was developed in-house at that business. We later sold all of the laboratory assets and then founded ProSomnus at the very end of 2016, and it's off to the races now. So you know, it was really a market demand, and we were in the position, myself and my other co-founders, Len Liptak and Sung Kim, had all spent much of our career in medical device businesses. They
right.
had spent a lot of time at 3M and Stryker, and I had been, you know, exclusively in medical device. And so we really saw this, as opposed to being another dental laboratory opportunity or in product, that this, we were going to build it from the ground up as a medical device company.
And so just because I don't really know very much about how you would run a company, but so you're a co-founder, but you actually work with them as well. Like, and I know sometimes co-founders are kind of hands off, but
I am not hands off.
Right. You're hands in.
Right. I'm hands in, hands all over. And so it's so my current role is executive chairman. And as of the beginning of the year, I officially joined the team full time. And although I've been spending all of my time for the past few years really working with the business. And you know, we bring different things, you know, I've helped from the, you know, fundraising and investor perspective largely. Len is the CEO, and he's really had a lot of the vision for the business. And Sung is, you know, the engineering and manufacturing expert on our team. So we sort of bring, you know, the three pieces together, and you know, fortunately we get along really well. We a lot of respect for one another. And so yeah, it's lucky because we spent a lot of time together. But
yeah. So this is purely for my listeners, because I feel like I've had lots of people on the podcast to talk about their experiences with using oral appliance therapy to treat their sleep apnea. But I feel like every time we do an episode, I have a handful of people will be like, "Are you talking about and they'll say all sorts of words that they've heard from their dentist, like night guard, and what we're talking about is oral appliance therapy or a mandibular advancement device. So
Correct.
actually therapeutic for sleep apnea that's going to draw your jaw forward and take your tongue and soft tissue out of your airway." Because I think there's just a lot of misinformation about like all these, there's just so many appliances that do completely different things. So whether it's TMJ devices to help people with that, or, just a really basic night guard that, isn't really doing anything about sleep apnea. So just to clarify for everybody listening that that's the kind of appliances you're talking about. I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about your sister. Do you want to kind of just share a little bit about your sister, and
Yeah,
before we kind of get on to the rest of the story, just a bit about who she was and her life and her family and that kind of thing?
sure. So I had one sibling, my sister, 3 years younger, and she was very educated and brilliant. She'd gone to Harvard undergrad. She had an MBA. She had a PhD. She had done a lot of really interesting, neat things. She was very interested in writing and history. And her sort of last big thing was she had moved down to Nashville and had married her husband, and they had a child. And she had finished up her PhD program and was working for, I think it was this. Maybe it was a county or the state of Tennessee, helping to really develop the sort of cultural sort of knowledge of, and sort of bring awareness to sort of all that existed in Tennessee. She loved Tennessee. We grew up in New York City, so it was a very different
Very
world.
different, yeah.
But she was super, super happy there and loved the people and the culture, and so it was great for her. And so yeah, I mean, I'll just sort of jump into the story.
Yeah.
So she had started snoring really loudly, and I'd actually hear about it often from my niece, who, because she would need to sleep, my sister would need to sleep in her own room, and it was really loud. And there would be some of the kinds of jokes that people would, the windows are rattling or some of those kinds of things. And but obviously I became aware through my job increasingly of how serious this could be. She was tired all of the time. She needed to take naps pretty much every day, and she had moodiness and sort of mental health things that were concerns. And
This episode of Sleep Apnea Stories is sponsored by BetterHelp. How well we look after our mind really affects how we experience life. Therapy has been so helpful to me since I was diagnosed with sleep apnea. It helped me to work through the feelings I had about going undiagnosed for so long. It also helped me to adjust to living with a chronic condition. One of the best things about starting my podcast has been realizing I'm not alone in coping with mental health issues along with sleep apnea. Speaking to a professional therapist has helped me enormously to manage my anxiety and depression. BetterHelp is online therapy and it's much more affordable than in-person sessions. You can get matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. Our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/Emma. That's betterhelp.com/Emma. So
Of
did you
something.
immediately, like, just because of your job, you immediately kind of know all those things tend to run together with sleep apnea. And so I think for so many people, it can be really hard to talk to family members. So how did you broach, like did you kind of think to yourself, I should really say something, but you weren't sure, and or how did you actually broach it with her?
Well, I think you're absolutely right that it's really difficult to talk to family members about it. I did talk to her, and I explained it, and I sent her the name of a specialist, and I was like, the specialist is 5 miles from your house, and she was a big investor in ProSomnus, actually. She's a big supporter of the business, but I think that she sort of thought, well, you've got a hammer, I'm not going to be your nail. And I, in some ways, my involvement in it maybe was too close, where she just was like, yeah, this, you think about sleep apnea all the time. I'm not so sure. So,
Yeah, I have the same thing just because I'm kind of like the sleep apnea lady. So I feel as though, especially people, in my life, they'll kind of say, well, you think everybody has sleep apnea. And I'm like, yeah, because it's a really commonly undiagnosed problem and it's a really serious problem. But yeah, I totally get that.
So yeah, no, I mean, I absolutely talked to her, and it's tricky with patients, and who, people like, well, my sister, who already, I was always worried that, she would just sort of shut me out if I pushed too hard. So I didn't want to push too hard, which I think is somewhat common. I think, she didn't like the idea of, and this was pre-COVID, so home sleep tests weren't as available as they fortunately are now, and she certainly had no interest in going and sleeping in a sleep lab. And I think, there are so many barriers for people, and particularly when it's somebody close to you, and I'm in the same boat as you, where people go, oh, you think everybody has sleep apnea. So that's a challenge. But it's part of the reason that I really wanted to incorporate it into my book and wanted to get people both to raise awareness, but also to be able to start thinking about how do we get to people who are resistant to thinking about it.
So what were the main things you were hearing from your sister about? She just generally was resistant to the idea, or was there specific issues she didn't like the idea of?
Well, I a couple of, at first it was yeah, like
Right.
and then she claims that she spoke with her primary care doctor, who said, oh no, you don't sound like you have sleep apnea, which of course sort of breaks my heart. I don't know if that's the case. It's not, I was able to get her medical records, and there's no, documented conversation about it. So I
Right.
don't really know if she was just trying to make me be quiet, or
Appease you, yeah.
if in fact, I think that there are a lot of general practitioners who are, and particularly, this was in 2019, there were a lot of people who were less aware than they are today, fortunately. I think
I
it's getting
mean, I think hopefully it's changing, but that is an all too common story. I mean, like I went for 10 years without a diagnosis, and I had I think I know language now to speak about symptoms better than I would have then, because I had no understanding of sleep apnea or sleep disorders at all. So when I was going to my doctor, usually in tears, I was saying, I'm so exhausted, I'm so tired, I'm so overwhelmed, I am so sleepy. I'm taking naps all the time. I have morning headaches. I basically had every single symptom, but I think that sometimes if you're not using words like daytime sleepiness, doctors are not, there's so many things that can cause us to be tired during the day. And unfortunately, especially women are kind of overlooked when it comes to sleep apnea, just because there's been this kind of stereotype of the only people that have sleep apnea are older, overweight men. And of course, we know that's not true. So.
I think you're spot on. I think that, she ha I can, put all of the symptoms in a basket and go, this makes sense to me. And but if she was at her doctor, I don't know if she would bother to tell her doctor that she was snoring, or that she, I could see, if she was feeling depressed at some point in time, not connecting that to snoring or being
Yes.
tired, or things like that. And so, these, I think, to, one of my real goals is to try to just get the word out. And I'm so happy that you are too. I mean, just as much as we can to educate people that this is The statistic we use internally is, one in five adults. I mean, I say to everybody, like, of course you know somebody. For sure you know somebody. You
Yes.
could, if you're sitting in a theater, you can reach out and touch a person or two, statistically. And so, we need to be talking about it and thinking about, the other statistics I like to tell people is, like, these are more patients than who have cancer. Like, this is, it's so ubiquitous. And so,
And one of the things I think that is really misunderstood about sleep apnea, and one of the reasons I'm so glad for you sharing your story, is that people don't realize that there are serious health consequences that go along with untreated sleep apnea. So maybe you can share a little bit more about your sister and what happened.
She unfortunately, died very suddenly in atrial fibrillation, and the EMTs weren't able to, get her out of that. And she was only 46, and so actually, the state of Tennessee required an autopsy because it's unusual. And what they found was that she had an enlarged heart as well, which, I think is very, consistent as well. You're not getting enough oxygen. Your heart has to work that much harder to try to get the oxygen that it does have throughout the body. And so, it's just so tragic. And obviously, when I was talking to her, I knew that it could, decrease her quality of life. I thought it could shorten her life. It honestly never occurred to me that it would be something, as dramatic and sort of imminent as it turned out to be. I mean, there may well have been something else going on that was undiagnosed that, started the cascade, or we don't know, but she wasn't being treated for anything else. And so, she certainly reported being tired and not feeling well. And in retrospect, she looked fairly sort of gray. She just didn't, she wasn't healthy. She wasn't in good shape, but we just didn't know enough to take the actions that were necessary at the time. So,
And so this happened at, did you say before the pandemic or?
it happened in December of 2019. And so the great thing about that was that, my family was able to gather, and we all were in Nashville together, and had a huge service, and lots of people came in, and that was really special and really nice. But then just a couple months later, we all went into lockdown.
Everything locked down, yeah.
And so it was, made it re it really exacerbated it, because everything we were all feeling, I think, got heightened, because we're sort of sitting staring at the walls and wondering what's going to happen next. And so it was very frightening. And really difficult to not, not be with my parents, not be with my niece or my brother-in-law. There were a lot of things about the timing that really heightened it.
And so tell me about your process of coming to terms with grieving for your sister and what happened with that.
Sure. So, concurrently with all of this, we had everything going on with the business, right? So, the dentist offices were closing, and our, so there were a lot of things that I needed to be very, on the top of my game to make sure that, we were well funded, and that we, were able to manage the business through, at the time, you just didn't know what was coming.
Completely, complete uncertainty. I mean, really not knowing. I think that, I mean, my husband's a small business owner, and I know that with him, it's not like any normal circumstance where you can plan for a short term, blip, or you kind of know after 6 months things will be different. We just had no idea how long this was going to last.
Right. So yeah, that absolutely. And so spent a lot of time with the team, planning, managing, working on PPP loans, and I mean, just making sure that we could, get through that period and be available to treat patients, because, COVID patients in particular who had sleep apnea really needed treatment. So, the business, to the incredible leadership of Lynn and Song and the team, They never closed a single day. They manufactured every single day
Wow.
through the pandemic. And so, we were doing that. So, I had to sort of compartmentalize because that was a very important and sort of serious thing that was going on, and I cared a lot about that. But I was really grieving. I was suffering personally, and so I spent a lot of time outdoors walking, and my husband and I would get out every day, and that was very important to me. And I live in Southern California, so it's also really beautiful, and you probably remember without the traffic and the airplanes, whatever,
Yeah,
the
it's
air was so
quiet.
clear and quiet, and it
Yeah.
was beautiful. So that was really wonderful, and I think a lot of people sort of reflect on how nature can be helpful, and I certainly found that. I was very fortunate. I had before the pandemic started found a grief counselor, and I was able to speak with her. I found it to be invaluable. I mean, she really allowed me to just process everything that I was facing, and it was too much to sort of dump on my family. They were dealing with their own things, and so I found that very helpful. So and I was fortunate to have some.
Sometimes somebody, like I just know from my own journey with therapy, sometimes somebody who's not involved, like who's not in your family, like that can be really powerful because, you can just go and dump all your stuff on them and like they're not involved. So, and you're paying them. So,
Well, and
like,
they have a much cleaner perspective as
yes,
well. They don't
yeah,
have
definitely.
The last thing that I did that was really helpful was I had this real desire to do something creative, and I wasn't traveling as obviously because
Yeah.
and so I had more time than I was used to, and so I had been given a book called The Artist's Way, which is it's been around for a long time,
Yes.
Julia Cameron. And so I started going through that, and it really is about sort of exploring your creativity. And I thought I wanted to like do ceramics or make jewelry. Like I had, but I didn't have any skills. I didn't have any tools.
That you knew of yet.
that I knew of. And so one of the things that she did suggest was writing every morning. So she has something called morning pages, and so
Just to write out your feelings.
you can write anything you want. You before
Yeah.
you. Speak before you do anything else, you just 3 pages, anything you want. And so I started doing that, and a whole lot of some of it just mumbo jumbo came out. And then she also suggests that you don't go back and reread it for quite a while. And good little rule follower, I didn't. And so I waited for a few months, and then I went back. And what I found was that I had been writing all of these sort of analogies with trees. We've been outside on these beautiful walks, and I was sort of expressing a lot of what was on my mind through these, what my editor calls poems. I didn't think of them as poems per se as I was writing them, but and so I first thought, gosh, I should really type these up for my children. I was very aware of my sister leaving sort of early, and what if something happened to me? Do my children have
Yeah.
what they need from me? And do they know me well enough? And so that was the original thing where I was like, all right, I'll type them up and organize for them. Then I will organize them for them. And once I did, I thought, there's actually something more universal here there that seemed to potentially connect with more broadly. And so
Yeah.
I started sharing them more. With friends and things like that, and that really became the core of the book. And so it was not a it's not the kind of book where I sat down like, okay, I have a book, I'm gonna write, this is my outline, and I'm gonna
Yeah.
bang this out it, at all. It really evolved and was very
And
organic.
tell me all about the illustrations, because the illustrations are beautiful.
Aren't they incredible? I got very, very lucky with the illustrator. So there's close to 40 poems. They're all botanical in nature, and so they really begged for some art alongside them. And this was new to me. I had not done anything like this before. I didn't know anything about putting
You
together
never like written a book
illustrate.
or published
No,
things.
nothing.
Okay.
And so I was like, well, where would you find a botanical artist? So I Google it. And apparently there is an American Academy of Botanical Artists. Who knew?
Who knew?
And so they, all of their members have little thumbnails of their art. And so I just went through them and I found a couple that I thought looked like a good fit, but Kelly was really my first choice because I wanted someone who could not only paint, beautiful flowers and things like that, but I needed, because of the text, I needed someone who could do the roots and the thorns and
Yes.
some of the sort of less pretty things in
Yeah.
nature. And I thought she did that particularly well.
She did a
And
wonderful job. So one my favorite, I spent the other day reading your book in a coffee shop, and my favorite one is called Roots, and it's also my favorite of the illustrations. Would you be willing to read that, or to read maybe a few for people?
I'd be happy to. So, all right, I'll start with roots.
I'm obsessed with trees. So when we first moved here to Florida from Scotland, we bought this house new, and in the backyard they had a sapling little oak tree, and it's now bigger than the house. So we've been here 15 years, and my children, have always been climbing that tree, and we have swings hanging off it. And so I literally, we already talk about downsizing when our kids leave, and I'm just like, I don't know if I can leave the tree. I love the tree.
It's
So
so
yeah,
funny
so I
that you
think that's
say
partly why that poem spoke to me particularly.
that. Yes, we have since moved from the house where I wrote the book, and I was comfortable leaving the house. It was the trees, as you say. I was there. I went around
Yeah.
and I actually, I had a special goodbye with a handful of the trees that
See,
really.
my husband doesn't get it at all. But it really is. I think that, our house, like, I love our house, but I think when we leave it, it'll be the tree that I'll think of. Yeah.
Well, and to your point, this poem came from, I'd read some articles about, the whole sort of underground connections between trees. And I'm so fascinated by that whole notion that they're connected and communicating in ways that we
Yeah.
don't understand. And so I'll read it and then we can talk a little bit
Yeah.
about it. So it's called Roots. Trees talk underground, root to root, connection, communication, warnings, knowledge. What do they share? What do they know? What would we learn if we could hear? And that, it's,
I
I think
love
that's,
that.
oh,
I
thank
don't
you.
think before I read that poem I'd ever even thought of, of course roots must be connected underneath, but for some reason I always thought of them as like the individual tree and those roots, and I didn't think about that there's all this connection going on underneath.
Yeah, well, and
Crazy.
there's a lot of science now that shows that they actually are sharing micronutrients, that they're warning each other of, pests that are coming and weather and different things. So I'm not an expert in this by any stretch, but I find it fascinating.
Yeah.
And, just the complexity of the natural world and the things that we don't understand. And I think as humans, we get a little bit arrogant sometimes.
Yeah, for sure.
And
Did you want to pick out your favorite and read that for us?
oh wow, okay. Let's see. Yes, let's see. Which one am I going to do? I think that I will do. I'll do. I'm going to switch. Sorry, I'm going to do the giant kelp. So is called giant kelp. Giant kelp in the South African Ocean, tall, mighty, part of a fairy tale forest underwater. Under the waves, under the crashing, under the noise, the people, the trouble, the cares of the land. Down here, swaying, shifting, flickering in the light, glimmering sunlight slicing through, bringing brightness and splendor. Away from it all, dancing with friends. enjoying being alive and strong, arms up, hip swing, feeling the groove. And
Love that.
that
So
was,
it's about, did you say it's South African?
yes.
So
So
was that from a trip or where did that come from?
I had seen the documentary, The Octopus Teacher, or My
Oh
Octopus
yeah.
Teacher, and I loved his connection with the octopus, and I just loved, it's
There's a
funny,
whole world of octopus
world.
lovers out
Yeah.
there. And one of my friends had posted something on Instagram. There's an organization to do with octopuses, and their videos are amazing.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's a theme that I didn't realize until after I went back and really looked at the book. This, this sort of getting away from, the sort of going underwater, and then there's other poems where I go up into the clouds, and like
Yes.
there's a little bit of sort of escapism or just sort of needing a break,
And a different perspective.
and I think that that's important for all of us, right? I mean, whether it's during the pandemic or grief or just day-to-day life, to sort of recognize that sometimes we need to just step back and find a quiet place, even if it's just in our own head, that we can,
Yeah.
recharge, and enjoy ourselves a bit more.
So tell us where we can get your book.
So it's available at Amazon, Barnes and Noble, Target, Walmart, bookshop.org, with through independent bookstores. So it's fairly widely available, fortunately. And there are links on my website, if that's the easiest, which
Yeah.
is langrickers.com. And so yeah, I hope people enjoy it. I really
Yeah.
see it as both hopefully a bit of an education tool and also a gift for people who, are dealing with some sort of a loss. It certainly could be a
Yeah.
death, it could be other types of loss. So
And I particularly loved you had a section where you listed resources so that
yes.
people can learn more about like the signs and symptoms of sleep apnea. And so that was really, really great that you did that too. So, did we cover everything? Is there anything else that you want to share that I missed? How are
No,
you doing now in your grief journey? I know that for a lot of people, they think that it's this kind of thing that you go through for a short time and then it's over, and that's not my experience of grief at all. So, how are you now post-pandemic and back to work and everything?
yeah, partly because I have done the book and I talk about it a lot, I feel most days pretty good. Although I have to say, I just this past Friday went to the reunion of the school that my sister and I went to in New York when we were young, and I was sitting in the big assembly room, and I'm not usually in spaces where I used to be with her. My parents aren't in the house that we grew up in. She's in
Yeah.
Tennessee, I'm in California, so I don't have a lot of physical spaces, and I was in this room and I just started crying. I just felt so
Yeah.
overwhelmed with sort of the presence of her and remembering the times that we had been there. And so, as you say, like it comes in different waves. And
Yeah.
fortunately, somebody had said to me early on that, it comes in waves, and it feels in the beginning like it's just a constant crashing, and then the waves get further and further apart. And that's very much the experience that I've had. This I
Yeah.
hadn't had a wave in a while that had really sort of knocked me in that way, but it was a good reminder that it's still in there and still
Yeah.
hard. So,
Well, thank you so much for joining us and telling us your story and for writing the book. What a gift.
well, thank you. And thank you for having me on, and thank you for all you're doing to spread the word on sleep apnea. I think it's so important that people get educated. And
thanks so much for listening. I love hearing from you. If you'd like to be featured in an upcoming episode, please email me at sleepapneastories@gmail.com. That's also the place to get in touch if you just want to say hi or ask a question. Alternatively, you can always reach me on Instagram. My handle there is @sleepapneastories. If you're enjoying the podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review wherever you listen. This really helps a wider audience to find the episodes, and I really appreciate it.